Blog Talk Radio.
This is Patty Elstrina. We're on live K-Quad Radio, and this is we're on live. We are sitting in front of Todd's Books, and we're getting some feedback here. Okay, that's real weird. Let me see if I can just run a song here. I'll be right back, see whether or not there's issues. Okay, this is Patty Holstrand again, and we're on live. And hopefully, our feedback here, we won't be listening to us. Wow. Okay, well, we'll just ignore the feedback then, and we'll just keep on going. I'll have to ignore the breakup. It's like deja vu. I'm hearing myself all over again. So hopefully everyone else can hear me this one. And we're right in front of in Todd's books, and right down here on Main Street, Payson, Arizona, right in the mountains. 80 degrees. So all those in Phoenix can just say na na na. It's beautiful out today. The sun's still out, and we're just, we've got a nice breeze rolling through here. So we have with us today, we got five authors. We got Michael Bradley, who writes steampunk, and we've got a friend of mine, Lynn Boston, who writes a psycho thriller, real adventure stuff. We had lots of different genres in this book, so we were just talking, making fun of the fact that none of us really write any, just one genre anymore. And of course, we had JJM up, and Jen, she writes, pirate adventures with a little bit of romance, which we were talking about that. Almost everything has a little bit of romance these days. You have to keep people interested because people like interaction with other characters. Now, the only nonfiction author we have today is Chet Shoup, and Chet, of course, writes about Eden and spiritual freedom, finding your, regaining your spiritual freedom. And we're going to have him say hello.
Hey, Chet.
What?
Hi.
Hey, who am I talking to?
We're
going to
have him.
Hello? Hi. Did I do it? Oh. Who am I talking to? Yeah, I'm hearing myself. It's a very boring conversation. Okay, so I thought when you handed this that I was on the air. Huh? Well, I hope that no one's listening then.
Well, I think if they're listening, if they're listening, they'll hear only the first, that part
there. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm not sounding very intelligent.
Well, I can't do anything about that.
Well, I mean, is there an audience out there? Oh, I see. But am I supposed to talk about, am I supposed to sound intelligent? Well, I'm out here with a bunch of other authors, and we are just have a book, presenting some books, and I've written a book entitled Eden, Regaining Our Spiritual Freedom, and so it's a nice evening, and we're having a good time. Okay. That's right. When we came from Phoenix, it was 112. And now it's around 80. Nice breeze. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I handed Chet my microphone. I think he's got a bigger head than I do. I think you have a bigger head than I do. We're we're starting to get some traffic here. We got some people walking through here. And it's filling up. We got some lots of cars coming through here. We got some live music in the background. I think they took a this is taking a 5 minute break, so so apparently them Boston's doing a brisk business tonight.
This is by
nonfiction. Everybody else is fiction.
I've got some little essays I'm handing out that I'll give you.
Which ironically
So we're across the street from Henshaw Associates Architecture Planning. And a real small gasoline alley, which it kind of reminds me of Cars the movie, you know, from Disney.
So you live here?
If we had video tonight, we would have you would see in Boston down in the middle there talking. He sold a couple books already. And we're just getting started for the night. It's 6:12. And we've been here about an hour, but you know, it just started picking up after people and you're getting off from work. And they're all heading out here to have some fun. I should do it on a Friday night. No, they understand next Friday we're going to be right in the heart of Mesa. And that one shows a little later because apparently they close up here around 8.
You guys wouldn't fight for this?
And that one shows a little later because apparently they close up here around
8. If the rest of the world wouldn't have come in here to throw this guy out of the meeting, he was coming straight
for a yacht. See, here's an animated talking down there. A conversation down wondering whether or not we can reset this. I believe it's because of the... Oh, I know why. Okay, I fixed it. It's because I had the show running. Oh, that's a doofus of me. We got Facebook here. So again, this is a call-in. You guys can call in and say hi.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Not taking any phone calls, so you can call here. Guest call-in number is 714-242-5145. Like I said, we're sitting outside, so we got all the traffic by driving by here. Again, the number, guest calling number is 714-242-5145. Otherwise, you guys would be listening to all of us talking. I'm glad I got that feedback thing taken care of, though. So now we're on live and we hear people talking.
Where is what? Eden? I'll tell you where it is. It's whenever a group of women recognize their real sisters and start trusting their lives. Forget about men. They don't even matter. What matters is that spiritual bond with women. And if you do that... See, my last chapter is entitled to Take Us Home, Girls. Because if you were to trust your lives to a group of women, and I mean without separate monetary, guys would come around, and we would be hey. Because if we didn't, you'd shun us from the family. And we'd be there to help you and your children. So, you know, I'm just saying, when I say spiritual freedom, what I really mean is emotional freedom. Because I believe that
that was chat talking. Yes. Talking to a customer about his book and his nonfiction. Eden. Regaining spiritual freedom. And the Lint on there is just smiling. Of course he's smiling. He's sold several books already. The bank.
By the way, only men have been allowed to participate. You see, the thing is that men are born with identity crisis. Our whole issue in life is to figure out who we are, where we belong. See, women don't care about it. Men don't. And that identity crisis is what gave things order in the world, because we had to serve those women, their children, have a reason for being. But once we destroyed the sisterly bond, suddenly we were desperate. So that's where all this shit comes from. You know? But I'm not blaming guys. It happened innocently. See, what I say is, if you gals lost, we'd come around and support you. And if your lives came under threat, we would place our lives. And we'd celebrate it, even if some of us didn't return. So I'm not saying we're bad. See, to have people around who care about you that much is bad. It's just that we don't have any focus anymore. Who we are.
And women have their act together.
You got it, yeah.
Well, I say...
In my
chapter, where I start about Pegasus Home Girls, I say the most important thing I've done in a man, the most important thing I say to you is, we are your children. And I say, I know you know that, because I hear you laughing about it all the time.
That's true. I teach my own
once men destroy the sisterhood, then babies born out of the side of wedlock were illegitimate. That just totally enslaved the women. And we lost our reference for everything.
Well, thank you all.
Well, hey, it's nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for stopping by.
I don't know if the chat's working, so. Again, if anybody has anything to say in chat, please definitely write it in here. And I'll let the guys know. Ask the questions. Hi, Ben Payson. Todd's just doing the brisk business. Just right off of Bayline Highway for those that coming in from Valley. You guys know where the Beeline Highway is. What in the world is that?
That don't look like that would be very good eating.
It's rough on the gum.
I would guess. What is that?
That is a seed pod of a sycamore tree.
Oh, a sycamore tree.
That's a sycamore tree.
Right? Okay.
Oh, that one across the tree?
Yeah, we should get
getting windy.
Very well. You get all of its leaves over here. Yeah. That's what it produces.
You know, that's weird because I've been around
here.
Yes,
there we go.
And I didn't recognize it.
Oh,
well,
what about the I remember
Lokafana. Around here, there's a big sycamore trees across the street.
I'm giving away for you for eating glaciers.
It's part of a tree. It's part of a tree.
I'm on the August. Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, I was down there. And I talked to three of the ladies down there. And then they're really nice gals. And, I gave them.
So it's all his fault. It was all your fault getting them started, huh?
Check them out. Yeah, I've read the majority of them too.
Again, you had to have music in the background, which is outside. They're singing down there. Everybody kind of opened up their doors. They're sitting outside. We're a nice little community here.
Just introduced me.
Down the street. Hi.
Hi.
That's me.
And your name is?
I have a time travel romance.
Okay.
Got science fiction in it. You know, none of us write this straight one genre. That just doesn't not done anymore. Yeah.
Very good. I'm the only
nonfiction
writer.
He's the only
nonfiction
author.
I hope.
Yo. Or kind of. He's a little bit fantasy.
It might be fiction, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for stopping by.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's on sale
$10.
We have people walking through here, and then, of course, you got Todd standing out here. He's kind of enjoying his neighbors. He's opening the door, and he's got people walking through his store. And you know, Todd's got a nice little used bookstore here in Payson, right off of Main Street, which is right off Beeline Highway. And right next to him is a little artist shop. Got a couple artist shops, got fine arts gallery down in and here, artists of the rim. So it's a nice little two-story building. Again, we're right across the street from Gasoline Alley. And then Child Associates and Woody's. I'm not sure what Woody's does, but he's got something over there. And Lincoln Garage Store, which is also across the street. So you got definitely some, it looks like the artists have some cowboy art. So that would be unusual in Payson. To the cowboy art. Obviously, you know, Payson's definitely known for its rodeos. Very famous for its rodeos. Got rodeos all the time. It's also known as the event capital of Arizona. Since we have more events in Payson than any other city in the state. So they got a lot of things going on constantly here in Payson. We got Jen here. We met Jen the other day at the Phoenix Comic Con. And yes, we're live. She's going, hey, we can't see you. So here she is, primping up. So, no, well, I did, but I got the feedback taken care of. So now we're on live and can't hear it. They're just taping. So sorry to those who probably listened to you earlier. We sounded like we had two people talking, which we did, me. So we got Jen here, and she's tell us about your book. So that way, for those who didn't hear your show the other day.
Oh, yeah, for those who didn't hear me talking about the book at Comic-Con, it's Blackstrap's Ecstasy. It's a pirate adventure, and it's the first book in the series. The next one is Max's Despair, and the books are essentially the adventures that the pirates go through in order to get their ships and crew. So it's mostly backstories and interesting tales of adventure that these pirates go through, and how they get out of trouble, or actually into trouble most of the time.
So now that you got this book done, what are you doing next?
I'm working on Max's Despair. I'm working on several other books, too. And I'm always working on different scripts and things for the pirates to do.
Talk about your scripting.
The scripts, I am not a script writer. I'm doing the best I can. I'm learning. Fortunately, I have a group of people with the Dreadfleet that are willing to tolerate my learning curve. And we put on a show at Comic-Con. And we're hoping to do another show next year at Comic-Con. They've already asked us back. And basically, they're short 45-minute to an hour stage shows. With music and dancing and adventure and fighting, and
you take scenes from your story, right, and then you script it.
Yes. The first one was all scenes from Blackstrap's Ecstasy. This last one was mostly just the characters, less scenes directly from the book, but it was all characters from the book.
So when's your next book coming out?
I'm really, really working hard to have it out by the fall.
What can we expect for that one?
I'm sorry?
Same type of story.
Yes.
What can your author or readers glean from that one?
It'll be very much like Ecstasy was written. This one is how Captain Max got his ship, the Despair, and managed to get his crew. They are a delightful little bunch as well. So,
yeah. And where can they find you online?
I know that happens.
I have Facebook, JJMC, and Facebook, and the Captain Blackstrap also has a Facebook page.
Thanks for stopping by. I was down. There's a lot of video games.
So how do you come up with your type of story?
Well, the pirate stories, they are written, they're basically the people that I've met through doing the pirate stuff, but I've tweaked it and had a little bit of fun with their personalities and archetypes.
That sounds great. So what are you doing in Payson with us?
We are at Todd's Books, and really enjoying actually listening to all the other authors talk about their books too. I think I'm having more fun doing that than selling my own book.
Well, you know, you learn things from other authors.
Yeah.
Taking the time out to do that.
Yeah, a very varied group. It's really fun.
Well, it's a diverse group, don't you think?
Yeah.
So what do you think about the weather here?
Lovely. It's much nicer than Phoenix.
Yeah, na-na-na.
He's very nice. It's very windy.
Yeah, it's windy, but it's still kind of nice. It's sunny. You can see the mountains right here, so it's still nice to see. It's green.
Yes.
Green.
Makes me want to stay longer, though, at my cabin up here. I don't want to go home yet.
Well, thanks for stopping by here, and we'll probably talk to Jen later. Thanks, Jen. Thank you, Jen. Got to keep everybody busy here. So that was Jen, and of course, her book is Blackstrap's Ecstasy. And you guys want to have that book? It's online at azpublishingservices.com/bookstore.
.php. Also, if you go on the that bookstore and you wish to say, hey, I'd rather buy it on Amazon, then I got an Amazon button as well. It goes right directly to that book online. So if you can't make it out to Payson for a live booking, definitely let us know. And if you buy it today, you can also get it personalized. So just let us know. You can send us information on Facebook if you buy that book. If you buy it through the publisher's website, which is azpublishingservices.com/bookstore, and that's capital B-O-O-K, capital S-T-O-R-E, .php, you can write a note after you purchase it on how you want it customized. So definitely let us know. And if you buy it and you want to let me know on Facebook, I just left you that information on the chat. And my Facebook address is facebook.com/PJ, that's Patty Joe, .Holstrand, H-U-L-T-S-T-R-A-N-D, that's two T's, PJ.Holstrand, H-U-L-T-S-T-R-A-N-D. We're going to take a short break. Unless, of course, you guys want to sit here and listen to the cowboy music. That's fine with me. I tell you what, I'll put the microphone down. You guys can listen to the music and the nice conversation we got going on. Instead of taking a break. That way I can get up to a little bit of water and see if anybody wants to call in. Again, you've got a guest call number. We are live, so you can call in 714-242-5145. Sorry, that's not really cowboy music, is it? Here I said with cowboy music. No longer cowboy music. It's now pop.
Here I
said
with cowboy music. Could belly dance that one?
Likewise, $10.
Got
We are doing brisk business now. We got lots of people here. And we're on live at Impatience. And we're out in front of Todd's Books, and we're talking to people and taking names. We have people selling books.
Yeah, we sort of feel like we got culture dementia, don't we?
So we're all doing well. The kind of funny thing is that, you know, this is a small world, and Chet saw a friend. She lives down in the valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was somebody down in the valley who came up to.
I don't know if I told you about it. I had this leg that's bothering me for a while.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to the chiropractor. She helped us.
Okay.
So that's how I knew her. And when she walked up here, I thought, gee, I know that woman. But I had no clue.
She wasn't, she was in there.
About where I knew her. Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure, but I knew I did.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
Well, you know, I guess, did you hear what I told her?
Or some of it.
I finally figured out what caused this. She was a total mystery to me. Well, I was coming home on a bike one night, going around a real sharp curve, and I was pushing it too hard because I was drunk. I wasn't real drunk. I only had one beer. But I am very sensitive. But I'm sensitive.
Yeah.
To alcohol real bad.
Uh-huh.
And so I was really not thinking.
Dang, you light-footed.
Okay. Oh, are they listening to me? I really wasn't thinking, and I was pushing that curb harder than I should. The bike started to go out from under me. Well, when that happens, I stick my leg sort of up in the air. Didn't hit anything to try to regain balance, which I did. But what happened is, and I later figured out, I know this, I tightened the muscle so hard across my inner thigh that it bruised a nerve.
Yeah.
And that nerve took about a month. Took about a month to calm down. And during that time, I suffered a lot of leg pain.
How are you doing? Down stories and talking to each other. I think we got a little bit of everything here. We got nonfiction, of course. We got some, fiction. We got Michael Bradley down at the end. He's got, of course, we got me, who's got John Travel Romance, and we got Jen with her. She's all dressed up, by the way. Just let you know, she dressed up as her persona. Her black strap pirate. She's got her old costume on, and Michael Bradley on it. And he writes steampunk. And for those who don't know what steampunk is, turn of the century. Oh. Watch out, be careful. But getting out is just going to be a bitch. We're all kind of sardined here. Sardined in here, and I think Jen wants to sit down. She gets so nervous when she sits down. So. Besides the fact, she's got so many belts on, I don't think she can possibly sit down anyway. it's five. Thank you. I think I was getting quite a few people. I don't know how they placed the last two parts. Yeah, maybe one more parking space left. We're pretty full up. Yeah, after here, and you know, giving each other some advice and different things, you know, different places they can go online here and check things out. Well, it's the end of another chat down there. Because we had a little bit long. We had some people coming in and out of the store. Between church sets, I'm going to run a couple of these shows that we did in Queens Comic Con. And since we are here with JJ Zep, or Jen, we are going to run her 15-minute show here. So you can learn more about her other than, you know, being live here. Again, this was a pre-recorded show we did strictly at Queens Comic Con last weekend. This is Abby Holstrom, and we're over here at Phoenix Comic Con, and we're talking to Jen, also known as J.M. Yep. So, Jen, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into writing.
I grew up in a really small town, so when I got to the age where I could make up stories and write them down, I was always writing stuff down, and I spend a lot of time out in the fields, out in the woods, writing stories.
How old were you about that time?
I started writing stories when I was about 10 or 11.
Would you say that you did that out of boredom? Or something else? Is that you had creativity in you that perhaps maybe your parents had?
I think it was a lot out of boredom, but I had a lot of creativity, I think, at that time. My parents ran a small business, so we weren't really that creative of a family, but we were very entrepreneurial, so, yes.
I think to be in business, you have to be somewhat creative. Of course, you can't be creative with the books, but you can be creative with other things and start making money.
Yeah.
So when did you come to Phoenix?
I came to Phoenix in 2000. My husband was in the Air Force, and we really didn't have a choice. And Phoenix is the biggest city I have ever lived in. And it sort of scared me and surprised me because I thought I was coming out to, like, the empty desert, tumbleweeds, stuff like that.
Where are you from again?
Upstate New York.
Ah. Once upon a time, I went to New York, and we went to a play where they depicted everyone from Arizona being, you know, with Indians yet. So they have a real skewed view of what we are all about out here. Do you think that's the same case with you?
Yeah, but it goes both ways because, while I had a very skewed view of what Arizona and the desert was like, people also, as soon as they hear I'm from New York, they immediately think I'm from the city, and that was not the case when I was growing up. I grew up in a very empty, open area, a lot of trees, a lot of swamps, a lot of open fields.
And we have a lot of that around here, too.
Yeah.
And Arizona is one of those diverse, you know, states where we have, you know, stinking desert in one part, and then you've got a green, lush, you know, area in the other part. Do you think that you prefer the forest, or do you prefer the desert landscape?
I miss the green. Sorry. I prefer to go up north in Arizona. I really am not a fan of the desert. Sorry. Just the way it is. I know some people are real desert lovers. I'm not.
So, when you got here, and you were still, your husband was still in the Army, or Navy, the Air Force. And so when did you start writing when you were here?
Oh, I was writing all the time when I was here, too. I had my son, who was only about a year and a half old when we moved out here, so I'd write things down and then tell him stories, and so I was always writing to entertain myself, too, because I was at the housewife stage, and so stay-at-home mom, didn't have a whole lot to do, daytime TV is not fun.
When I first got married, I lived out in the stinking desert from Yuma. And we had a farm out there we were working on for my husband, who has his brother had a farm. So I was bored out of my mind because I grew up here. And there's a lot of things to do here, nothing to do out there. So I don't understand you at all when it comes to that. I like having people around me. I'm not used to not having people around me. So when you started writing here, so obviously you got into pirates. Apparently because you are in pirate gear here. So tell us about how you got involved there.
I do the National Novel Writing Month every year, NaNoWriMo. And one year I had this pirate character stuck in my head. Not the pirate character that's in Blackstrap's Ecstasy, surprisingly. And she wouldn't leave my head. So I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going to get a pirate costume. And I'm going to see if I can find some other people who are interested in this. And I ran across the Arizona Corsairs, who were very interesting, not quite what I was looking for. And then I met Max, who is Captain Max. And, yeah, Captain Max, whose book is the next one in the series, Max is the Spare. And mostly I just started out doing it for fun, and then we got into doing shows and performance stuff, too.
So when you say shows, what kind of shows are we talking about?
Swords, stunts, dancing. A little bit slapstick, very lighthearted. We don't do anything that's really dark and brooding or anything like that. More fun and comedic. And we are doing a show at Comic-Con in room 232 at 6:30 tonight and at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. So, come see.
So you're trying to stay busy. You're staying busy. Now, I know that you also do belly dancing. How did you get involved with that?
Belly dancing, I actually went, when I was 12 years old, I went to Watkins Glen with my family, and there was a belly dancing poet, and I absolutely fell in love with her, and I said, that is what I want to be when I grow up. Somehow I ended up being a belly dancing pirate. I guess the universe heard me wrong. So, and when I came out to Arizona, there's a huge belly dance community out here. I also teach belly dance on the west side, but it's just a lot of fun, and I think everybody should definitely get into that, too. Men and women.
There you go. Mixed gender. That's cool. So, how did you create a persona?
You know, I don't know that I actually create the personas. I really think they just sort of fall into my head. They develop into deeper characters as I work with them, but it's really more like interviewing and getting to know a friend rather than creating it, for me anyway.
So how'd you come up with the idea of your new book here, Blackstrap Ecstasy?
Well, as playing pirates with the Arizona Corsairs, I had to come up with my own pirate personality, and I just came up with Blackstrap because Blackstrap actually is the type of molasses that they use for rum, and I was drinking a lot of rum at the time, so I thought, well, why not? And I love the play on words with ecstasy being so many possible meanings with the ship. And hi, how are you? That's okay. So the pirate Blackstrap, I got a little off track, didn't I? But the book is about...
She got distracted by somebody in a lot of garb and very large gun.
Yeah, they're carrying a large gun. But it's Comic-Con, so I guess that's normal. But the book is basically the character of Captain Blackstrap and how she found her crew. The crew and characters in the book are based off of people that I know. So look around at Comic-Con or any of our shows and try to recognize who they are. I have been told by some people that I pegged them really well, and others don't want to admit it. So
that's interesting. Just some of them don't want to admit that they're in your book.
Yeah.
But, yeah, seriously. Well, that's a toss of mess, because, you know, he is just, yeah, he's just so cool. I'm sure we can tear a mess away for a couple minutes. But, okay, so now that you've got your book out, and I know you've got some short stories, tell us about those.
I do have a couple short stories. The short stories, some of them are based off of the characters in the pirate book that didn't get a whole lot of spotlight time. Like Bean to Zine, which actually isn't one character, it's a group of characters. They are the Daughters of Treasure. And they are the harem girls that Blackstrap liberated from the Sultana's palace. And they
did she save them?
Some of them feel they were saved, some don't feel they were saved. Especially when they realize that Blackstrap didn't want to just take them on a joyride on a pirate ship. She actually wants to put them to work. So.
And that wasn't their kind of work before.
No, not at all, not at all. So, but the stories are that Blackstrap is desperately trying to train them how to use weapons and be pirates. And while they are all very sneaking, conniving women, they are not all adept at using weaponry. Again, in the shows, we demonstrate some of the fun things that we do between belly dance and stunt choreography to kind of combine the dance and fight.
Yes, I was going to talk to you about that stunt choreography based on your short fights in your book, right?
How
do you go about that?
I learned sword fighting from Max and from Dirk, who goes by Theodoric Brandywine. They're both sword fighters in the competition sense. They do tournament sword fighting for the pirate stuff. And also Casey Plute, who is Captain Redcap, she trains the stunt fighters to do that choreography. I try to write based on what I've learned in the sword fighting, trying not to skim over, and I don't like to miss the gory details when it comes to blood and guts and stuff.
Awesome. That makes it real, you know, to color code it. It's just not any fun. It's not reality.
Right.
And so you have to make the characters more dimensional.
Yes.
So what's next for you?
Well, I have written a couple short zombie stories. I do want to do that. I also have a young adult fiction fantasy that's called Trolls. I'm really working on trying to get that out. And, of course, Max's Despair. That's the second book in the Dread series. And just always writing, always enjoying writing scripts. I have been asked to do a script for a belly dance piece, but I am not supposed to talk about that, so hush-hush about that one, but it's a lot of fun, and I just enjoy writing.
I'll have to interview you again when we do that one.
All right.
So, I know there's another book coming up, and you're working on it.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that one. And obviously, I think what you did was you ended this one, and then you see the scene and, you know, kind of continuation in the next book.
Yes. Max's Despair is a continuation off of Blackstrap, the story that started in Blackstrap's Ecstasy. But really, much like how Blackstrap book is written in this disjointed flashback fashion, so is Despair. It is about how Captain Max met his crew and where he came from and the interesting story that is. I don't want to give away too much because Max has a very interesting history, but I promise mermaids.
Ah, mermaids.
And, yes, some very interesting mermaids.
Are they nice mermaids or are they vicious ones?
They are not vicious, but I think anything that has a magical nature to it can't always be trusted. So Max has to be careful the deals that he makes with mermaids.
Well, he needs to be careful of every woman.
Yes, Max definitely has to be careful of women. He is warned several times that women will be his downfall. I don't think he's learned yet.
Well, they don't usually.
No.
What about me? What?
No.
What women?
All the women in the book.
So we're talking about that. Okay, so we got the story is coming up, and that's going to be out approximately?
Hopefully in the fall, or summer of 2012. Do my best.
Probably safer to say, you know, by September, which would be like fall,
yes.
September, October.
I would love to get it out by Talk Like a Pirate Day, because the Dredge Fleet does Talk Like a Pirate Day at Westgate, and I would love to have it out by then.
Which will be when?
I believe it's on September 22nd. Don't quote me on that one. Check out the dreadfleet.com page.
Which is?
Thedreadfleet.com.
That's DREAD, everyone.
Yes.
LEET.com.
Yes.
Do you have a website of your own for your books?
I do not have a website specifically for the books, but I do have a Facebook page for the Blackstrap's Ecstasy, and I do have a Facebook page for JJM Seep, and I also have a Facebook page for Bean Tazine, because they are wonderful dancers, and you can see what they do.
So what are you doing out here at Con?
At the convention, we're selling t-shirts for the Dread Fleet. We're selling a whole bunch of interesting pirate treasure for the Dread Fleet. I do have copies of Blackstrap's Ecstasy that have a sneak peek at Max's Despair. We're also doing a show. I think I mentioned that. Room 232, 6:30 on Friday night, and 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
Now, is that in the normal Phoenix Convention Center, or is that one of the buildings?
That's in the hotel room, room 232, which is upstairs from the exhibition hall.
Which hotel?
The one we're currently in.
Oh, okay. This is a Phoenix Convention Center.
Okay, sorry, yeah. This is a convention center. I'm sorry, yes. Okay. I get very turned around. In the book, Blackstrap is lost all the time.
That is very appropriate, then.
That is very appropriate. It's very true.
Okay, well, closer to your personality, so, it's almost out of time, but I just want to say thank you so much for coming on here. But if they want to come and see you here at Phoenix Comic Con this weekend, where do they find you?
We are at booth 1053, and come see us. We've got lots of pirate treasure and stuff out, and there's always pirates wandering around us. Come see the Dread Fleet.
Not every pirate is created equal, so be careful who you snag.
Yes, be careful. Be careful of the pirates. We're all dangerous.
Thanks so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing your next book coming up. And, of course, I'm still looking forward to reading the first one, but I'm not quite done yet. So I'm looking forward to finding out what happens at the end, as I've already read the beginning of your first one, of your second book, so by chance. So you also find her book at azpublishingservices.com online, and also on Amazon in print format right now, and also going to be in Kindle format and all the other formats possible known to man. So you can definitely look on AZ Publishing Services for all your details when it comes to different versions that you can get a hold of. So with that, we'd like to take it tonight, and we're on to our next interview. This is Phoenix Comic Con, and this is Hattie Holstrand. The KWOD Radio signing out.
Man was surprised and figured out it was.
He did three summers in a row. He did Shakespeare in the Park in Manhattan. Mm. And he dropped a whole bunch of junk on Meryl Streep's head because he was up in the rafters.
Oh,
and he dropped a whole bunch. Yeah, it wasn't nothing. I mean, it was nothing heavy. Yeah. It was just some.
Hey!
That was it.
Said,
well, he's off that job. He'll never have that job dropping on Meryl Streep's head.
Now, I'll tell you something else. I've often noticed in the past when you see people that look a lot alike, they have a lot of the same manners and things. And your mannerisms, your voice, your tone, and the way you use your arms are very Meryl Streepy. I'm really surprised. No one's ever said that.
Drives a tour bus in L.A. somewhere.
Well, it's nice.
And from not so much face on, but from the profile, sitting in that bus, he's a dead rare for George Kennedy. People get on that bus thinking George Kennedy is driving.
Oh,
I mean, he does. Yeah, the profile is face on, not so much, but the profile. Weird.
George Kennedy.
For those who don't know who George Kennedy is, that was a while back. That was Airplane. And he was in quite a few of the disaster movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot of disaster movies. So for those young ones who don't know who George Kennedy is.
That's right.
We're then here listening to Todd from Todd's Books.
He does specials on the public television.
anymore,
Mr. Wizard.
So where did you work with him?
We both worked
I was living here.
Aerospace company. He was a mechanical engineer on this little project. I was writing software.
I know a guy. His daughter.
There's a guy in the whole Star Trek thing. Especially in the TV series. We used to shoot lines back.
Bruce Eisner. Your eyes are fantastic. I mean, everybody tells you, I'm sure. They love your eyes, right?
I asked him one morning, just
see your
being
eyes.
A mechanic engineer, you have to have a fair amount of man.
Boy,
and I just asked him off the cuff one down. I don't understand why division by zero is undefined. So he explained it to me. I used to teach algebra here in college. And when I would talk about that, I would always give his explanation.
Can you remember it?
What'd
they say?
Well, he said, let's try this by trial and error first. Let's take a fraction like a half. And let's make the denominator smaller and smaller and smaller. And as we do the division, the answer gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
And when it gets to zero.
And you get infinity. And infinity is undefined. So there you are.
There you are. Thanks, man. That's his claim to fame.
Sorry?
That's your claim to fame, right?
That's it. Well, I was on a movie set. The working title of the movie was called The Power.
There we go.
Turned out to be the China Syndrome.
Oh, wow.
And they were shooting a newsroom scene, and they were doing this in California. And they had rented the movie company had rented one of the big, I think it was Channel 13, doesn't matter what channel, it was one of their big studio things. It was like a big airplane hangar.
Huh.
And Jane Fonda had her trailer. It was inside.
Oh, wow.
You talk about down here with people. I don't know if you know who James Dobbs is, or James Cameron used to play
James Cameron.
He's been in a number of things, but a real down to earth guy. We had lunch together. Well, we were all sitting there at the table.
He just happened to be
there. A real regular guy.
So you were one of the tech nations trying to get the planet under control.
No. I wasn't in the movie. It's a long story. I just had a real interest in movie making, and in the trailer park where my parents were living, this guy had moved in, and he did special effects. Not visual special effects, but if they needed a safe in the scene or whatever, he'd make them out of plywood and paint it up.
So he's in charge of sets.
So I went up to talk to him and got an invite down to the set. So I just went down there and spent the day.
Very cool.
Well, most of the day.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Just to kind of absorb some of the
rest of the story there.
We're just going to find local offices.
Oh, okay.
We're going to share with our local office.
Okay.
We've got a flavor of everything here in a couple of days.
It's for Avalon and the audio over there.
There's some of you.
Okay.
It's sort of my philosophy of that show. See, if you read that, you'll know all about me. You may be sorry.
I doubt it. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Would it help if we put a lamp out here on the table?
Jennifer, do you want one?
Oh, when it gets dark out here.
We'll see. We don't need a lamp.
See how much
light we have. Yeah, something we don't think about.
Well, it might add a little bit of ambiance.
Yeah. Because we're kind of used to having a lot of light already on the street.
They won't
be able to see us. Yeah. Yeah, something we don't think about being, from Phoenix shows, and there's so many.
This is more along your speed here.
Jennifer,
come on.
Hi, Wallace.
About not having any light out here once the. Or at least not as much as we're used to.
I mean, there's going to be some light, but it's, we're used to a lot more light because the streets.
We don't consider that out.
We have some young girls here, and they are definitely biking.
If your girl was any cuter, she'd have to have a license.
She'd be so cute, she'd be illegal.
I live in a quadplex.
That pirate outfit is amazing.
And you know, with all of the people concerned about men and girls, I'm very careful not to look at any girl. And the other here about 3 weeks ago, there was a little gal, skipping down the deer with her doggy behind her. It was just such a nice, delightful sight that I was looking at it, and then I thought, I caught myself, I can't do this. And I'm not blaming people if things that go on. I mean, it's not that I'm blaming anyone or anything, it's just the way it is.
Are you
going
to sign Jennifer's name in there too, or just Heather?
Oh, you have to share with sister.
But I tell you one thing.
I want to put sister's name on there.
I've often thought, because you know these guys don't have that problem. They didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just feel so blessed.
Yeah, we'll put your name on that.
You're not having that problem. No, what would that be like? Jeez. Well, some of these guys in prison, you know, they'll say, you just won't keep me in here because it'll keep me out of trouble. See, the situation, you know, gets to it.
This would not be for them.
Yeah.
Probably it's a more Da Vinci Code like, be more esoteric. So it might be good for you or your husband. So like, if you have Kindles or Nooks or iPad or anything like that, you like to be able to get a mirror or you can actually get one like
okay.
So it's a very different approach to
I ran into Penny one day, she was kind of out of the way. And so
I told her about this article. I said, has this ever happened to you? Because I knew she was going for PhD. She said, funny you should ask. She had just gotten back from the valley. Her specialty had to do with bones and various sites. And she had been giving a presentation. She said, the good old boys almost booed me off the stage. I said, you're kidding. She said, no, not at all. I want to do a telephone interview with you, a telephone interview, because I want to be able to record a transcript. I had to write a paper in class. That's what it started with. So I did. I did the interview and wrote up the paper and turned it in, and I gave her a copy of it. But it made me ashamed to be part of academia, even to be a man. I mean, you know, this. Yeah.
Now,
in this day and age, that kind of crap is going on.
Was God?
I think we're beyond that, you know.
Part of that old man's
club. I don't know.
You know what
I'm
talking about? Well, Don Johansson is the one, I believe that's the name, is the one that wrote the book Lucy. He was the one that discovered that almost total humanoid about 3 million years ago. And he has since come to ASU. As a matter of fact, they've got Lucy down there at a deal in here.
Do they really? I don't know.
And that's anthropology.
I didn't know.
And he's one of the top people in the country.
The first one was
so that's just why I brought up their name. If he was one of the good old boys. Probably not.
No, I think it more has to do with, you know, the presidents and vice presidents and regents that are involved in
David. And you know why? Well, precisely. That's what I was going to say. First of all, men operate more in the good old man's, the friendship type of thing. But as women have got more educated and more out there, most of these roles that men have had a lot of grip on for decades, women can probably do most of the better guys than any of them. You know, I'm an electronics engineer by profession. Occasionally, top management would move from Motorola to Fairchild, you know. Well, the secretaries always went on. But I suspect the secretary's the one that's doing most of the work.
That's true.
You know, we're reminding him what needed to be taken care of.
Well, I did software, and there weren't many women in it, but there were a few, you know, breaking in. But
my mom was part of that. She got to break in with
that.
Well,
remember when they had the Barbie?
Well, I was an engineer.
I hate math because girls are bad at math. I didn't know. I didn't know about that. Yeah, that was back when. Remember that Barbie who called the string and she turned fire?
No, I don't remember that.
They banned it. After a month
and
after
a month. Yeah.
We should have
never had
this. No,
on there,
and that's all you ever own.
I've had a couple of cases where I was trying to explain noise figure. Noise figure. Noise figure, how do you calculate to a woman? And they just could not.
You hear the music in the background, maybe people walk in.
Well, I think she's,
Go down, let me get you down.
I don't think that's actually,
that's
not a live band.
Oh, no, it is.
Oh, it's a live band, isn't it? Looks
well,
like a live band, man.
Well, I was down here, and we were saying, the guy's playing the deal, and this guy.
Yeah, he's got a keyboard there.
Now, he might be a DJ now, I don't know, but it wasn't when I was having about
the 30 minutes. He's got a tambourine.
Because, no, there was a couple of names.
Yeah, she's got tambourine. And he's got the keyboard.
I think that's a different band. They had one down there in the last group, right? Very dominant female voice and about half a note
long. Oh, man.
Well,
it's hard outside, yeah.
Well,
your sound is insane there.
Yeah, it wasn't working.
Well, electrical engineer, they don't give those away.
Might suffer a little bit.
Some pretty heavy interesting going on in that.
How do you mean that? Well, living there is. But I'll tell you what, in the last 20 years, you know, once mainframe computers came in, and then even personal computers now, you know, they used to solve missile flight trajectories and everything with very complicated differential equations. That was a pure math solution. Nowadays, they just simulate with a computer. You know, they take a... They know what all the forces acting on the missile is for its attitude, and they move the missile for a tenth of a second, and then recalculate all the forces and move another tenth of a second. Pretty soon, you've got a much better answer than the math. So, in some ways, simulation has almost removed higher order mathematics from this session.
They didn't want to cross the green water with statistical processing.
Yeah. Pardon?
Statistical processing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you miss anything?
Solving
anything.
Nope. You have drinks over
there. Good time.
Yeah.
Can't have actually weapons on her, okay? She doesn't have to have a weapon on her. She just looks like she has one.
I know somebody asked us about where she was in the office, but I didn't hear what her answer was. And it was all but like nature
on her. Oh, jeez.
What's going on,
apparently.
Yeah. She was like, get out of my way. She was very very.
Some people are intimidated by women and chainmail and things like that, yeah. Not the belt.
Treasure.
I think it's the belt.
She just read the department and said, yes. You missed the department
and
said, treasure.
Yeah.
I don't think she was even looking close enough to see that.
It was almost a shock. It was
Well, every once in a while, she'll move.
She had good conversations here, and all of a sudden, it's like,
thinking right now. Yeah, you know, because we get that kind of people in the city as well. Nah. She's dangerous. I know. You have no weapon on you.
Again, it's the belts, and it's everything. What can you say?
You're intimidating to other women. Well, they know it's there. Talking about the guy. See? This is Todd's world here.
That's Parker. He's my guy.
Where'd you get the model? That I got from, I believe it or not, I got it from one of the stock photos. Yeah. Because I he had to have blue eyes. Because Parker's got blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty intense there, but you know he doesn't usually have a sword. He's actually more of a gun. Because again, he came from the 60s, 1960s, so you know he's more of a gun person. Revolver. He loves revolvers. She's young. She's 19. So Tama's 19. Now Parker's older. Yeah, he's in his early 30s.
Okay.
But in that time period, it didn't really matter. Yeah, and her being a princess, she could, you know, and he being a king, of course they could marry because it's a problem.
Of course, in this time period.
We actually see people who are married in that time of situation. Although, you know, we still do kind of hassle about that.
Yeah.
I don't think we're quite ready for that yet.
My in-laws, there's like a 12-year difference. And, well, my problem was, very good-looking man for his age.
Yeah.
You look at him, it's like, how old were you with that?
Yeah. The thing is, you never... the thing is, in the 1500s, that wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Right, she was actually too old by then. Oh, we get some light.
Oh, I thought maybe we'd sort of anyway, give it a little calm down anyway.
She was actually too old by then.
If you can plug that in to where your computer is now plugged and plug your computer
okay.
into the terminal, then we'll have some light.
Then just this piece over here. I don't think it's all that far. There we go.
You got your computer plugged in?
Yeah.
That switch mean up here. There we go.
Now it looks like we can match your right here.
Nice what?
Like a writing table.
Why not?
Todd used a little lamp here because, you know, we didn't consider the fact that we're sitting here in the small town, which has some street lights, but, you know, not quite that many. So we had considered the fact that when the sun goes down, it really goes down in Payson. I am going to put on Commodore Max's 5-minute program just to fill in the gaps here. Because we have about 25 more minutes. Yeah, 24. 24 more minutes here. We are closing up here after 8 o'clock. So,
this is Patty.
I'm
Coltrane, and we're with KWOD Radio. We're out here at Phoenix Comic Con. And we just got done talking to Jen, and we're now talking to Captain Max. Captain Max, tell us a little about yourself.
I am a pirate. I'm Commodore of the Dread Fleet.
What was my first clue on that?
Pardon?
What was the first clue on that one?
I don't know. Maybe the patch of my eye? Oh, my coat?
Yeah, your coat.
I've got a very nice cap.
He has no patch, by the way. At least not on his face.
No, I don't. I don't need it.
This looks
so how do you come up with a persona?
I've been working on this persona since 1987. It's kind of just, you start with a basic idea, and then it just over time it evolves and evolves. And I've become the man I am today.
Which is a captain.
Which is a Commodore.
Oh, he has been, that's right, he is Commodore. I apologize.
The title of Commodore is bestowed upon me by one of the captains I sponsored, four captains. She said that she would follow me and call me Commodore if I sponsored her. So I said, okay.
So how does that work with the different fleets?
There was an organization of pirates in town. It's been around for a long time, many, 20, 30 years. According to their rules, the only way you could become a captain is if an existing captain sponsored you for a year. And in that year, you have to prove yourself worthy. of the title, at which time you'd become recognized as a captain. So when I first met her, I was still involved with that system.
Now her, you were talking about Jen.
Correct, Jen. She's the one that came to me a couple years ago and said she wanted to be a pirate. I said, okay, we can all be pirates.
So I know that you taught her how to do the sword.
How to sword fight?
Yes.
Yes. It took a long time, but she picked it up. I used to teach starting with bamboo swords so that you wouldn't get too hurt. And once I felt you were ready, you moved up to steel. So she's up to steel, and she's really pretty deadly. Yeah, she's deadly.
I kind of tripped over that because I'm used to foils and fencing. So I said, no, it's not fencing.
It's still called fencing, but it's not what you see on TV. It's not that sport fencing. This is fencing with rapiers, and it was done to train you to kill someone else, which is what we do. We don't fence with foils, and we don't go by points. It's all by death kill.
This isn't mice fencing. These are real swords that you guys practice with?
They're real swords. They're not sharpened. They're exactly what they would use in the Middle Ages, just sharpened for duels. We just don't sharpen ours. We blunt the tips, actually, so we don't hurt each other too bad.
So what are you doing out here at Phoenix Comic Con?
We're promoting the Dread Fleet, our new organization. We're a 501c3 nonprofit based in Phoenix. We've got a show to do here at Comic Con today and tomorrow, which is a script kind of written off Jen's book.
Yeah, she told us about that. Who thought of that idea?
That was all her idea.
It's called scripting, right?
Yes, yeah, she wrote the script for this one. She wanted to get into scripting, realized it's kind of way different from writing a novel, but she enjoys doing it. And this one's kind of stressing her out. It's the first one.
So it's the first time she's going to do scripting here at Vince Comic Con?
We did a show here last year, but we just basically acted out scenes from the book, so it wasn't very hard to script that up. This is just using the same characters in different situations. So it took some writing and working with the talents that we have or don't have, which I'm not very talented.
So when she does the scripting, does she fight with another lady, or she fight with a man, or both?
For this show,
yeah.
This weekend, she's fighting another captain, Captain Redcap. She's also on the fleet, and she's a woman. She's a very hairless man. No, I'm kidding. She's a woman. Sorry.
So, what booth number are you in if they want to come and see you here at Phoenix Comic Con this weekend?
We're at booth 1053, and we've got two booths. We've got a lot of t-shirts, a lot of swag sitting out here, and a lot of pirates hanging around.
There you go. A lot of great fun over here, a lot of ironing. And they're like in the near the back here, next to the exit. So there, if you go straight down the aisle 1000, you'll see them near the back. And so we're sitting here at Phoenix Comic Con. Thanks very much, Max, for talking to me. And love your outfit, as always.
Thank you.
He definitely fits the part, and we're...
Arr.
There you go.
Wait,
that's our fun.
What's the pirate's favorite letter?
The letter R.
Nope. The C.
Okay. That was a good one. Anyway, now we're going to end it. This has been Patty Holstrand, which is KWOD Radio, and we're out at Phoenix Comic Con all weekend. We'll be talking again soon. Thank you. And she didn't see it before. Yeah, we're here live. And that was the end of Commodore Max's, that was Phoenix Comic Con. We were talking to him during the Comic Con on Friday. And that was last weekend down in the valley. And we got, we had some authors in here. And it's starting to get dark, but we got a little, it's kind of funny, Todd brought out a lamp out here. And it's like a writing lamp, you know, kind of that we would be like typing away at. So it's really apropos for our books here, of course. And as he puts it, he just gives a little ambiance to our writing here. Our show. So, yeah. Yes, you did.
He writes a lot, so we put several articles of his in there. I'm talking about the newspaper. It's Connotations Newsine, got which is this local speculative fiction. And Convention newspaper, his 22-year-old newspaper. Been around for a while. I've done the last 6 issues, and we're happy with that. And we've got it real busy. Got lots of cool stuff. We do book reviews and articles. We did, we do movie reviews as well. We do some features, some feature articles. We do some science. We got a couple pages of science. And this last time, we actually have a comic book writer now. Writes about comic books. What's he got? He's got what? Oh, yeah? I was about to see that. Saturn's up there? Wow. I'm talking about an app on the iPhone. I know, that's so cool. I've heard about it. I haven't seen it. So it's not even dark out yet, and we have someone who's showing us where Saturn is up in the sky because we can't even possibly see it here. We've got the moon that's about 3/4 full. And sees right through the building. Wow. I know, that's really cool. I saw it on, I think it's Jimmy Kimmel Live, but I didn't see it. So, since we had the eclipse, everything's a little bit off. She just keeps falling over. We'll have to get her a stand. I think it's yeah. That's why I'm not selling that one. It's just sounds for show. Look at an iPhone over there. You can see the stars and where the different planets are. Can't see them physically, but you can see them on the iPhone there. It's got an app for it. Very cool. Good. Now Lynn's looking for it. You know what his real name is? Lynn? His real name is Bob Frank. But he goes by Lynn Boston for his book. I said, well, okay, that means you have three first names.
January Jones. That's a certain alliteration. It's a very outgoing. Just go to YouTube and Google strange
sounds in the sky, and you get all. Well, he's definitely have a lovely night.
I wish we'd have more.
Top researchers. What are you talking about?
UFOs are up there. They're under construction or something. Remember that big V they had for the light? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what that is. Really? I'm not allowed to tell you. Real there for the Dutch. That is not unknown to everybody. Oh, yeah, that's true. But a lot of the things that we're talking
about those lights.
Yeah, Phoenix Lights.
I saw a TV show that...
Since we're talking about Phoenix Lights and... it's too long. There's no way we'll possibly do it for that long. Yeah, they still haven't given us any good explanation for that.
Well, I saw a
UFO. They don't want to give us any explanation for that.
I saw a UFO.
Oh, really?
We were down in the Mexican Ninja. We tried the bikes down in the Mexican Ninja. The bottom of the Ninja was about 30 years or so. We were out there looking at the map. It's pitch dark. we got down to La Paz the next evening to get our tickets for the ferry over the bay, the first thing the guy at the ticket counter asked us when we walk up is, did you see the UFO last night? Turns out that a bunch of the people who work on the ferry saw it take off from that area. And the people who were coming in on the ferry from the mainland that evening saw it leave. So it was a big deal then.
I've seen three UFOs.
Yeah, they don't have any real news like they did back in the
old
days when Walter Cronkite.
Oh, yeah.
See, it used to be that the network subsidized the news deal so that they were...
Right.
But now the news deal's just become another show.
Exactly. It's all about ratings, you know, whatever drives people to their station.
Follow the money.
Yeah, follow the money.
I used to be a journalism major.
Well, what I'm talking about...
Now it's all about
I found out that for chance.
See, how my book is titled Eat and Regain Your Spiritual Freedom.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I'm talking about how the world was before there was money and law.
And he was here.
And I'm suggesting that if we're going I'm suggesting that our survival is dependent on us getting back to the land. We have to learn how to resecure our needs from the land.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
you're talking about all the processed foods and everything else.
Yeah. Well,
apocalypse. This is kind of funny because there's this group together that are preparing for the zombie apocalypse, which you would normally think not belongs, right? And so they got together.
The zombie apocalypse already happened. That's what made them zombies.
They got together, this guy, for surviving the zombie apocalypse. And I kid you not, it's been adopted by the federal government, like FEMA. All these other organizations.
I believe it.
And they're handing these people's guides out.
The scenario?
Because the zombie disaster is the same as, like, if the bird flu disaster or if all the electrical grids went down or whatever. And the most dangerous thing in any of those scenarios is not the zombies, it's your fellow human beings panicking, trying to get food. But it's strange that this offshoot group, the Zombie Apocalypse Preparation Group, they're famous now. I mean, they've got disaster preparedness people from all over the world saying, tell us how to survive zombies so that if we get a flood and we lose our power for 2 weeks, we know how to control the people.
Did you hear about the guy in Florida? He was shot because he was eating somebody's face.
Oh, yeah.
That was awful. Yeah, they were both naked, actually. They were both, which I'm going like, okay, how did they both get naked?
I actually wanted to know more about that story.
The guy apparently was already out there anyway.
I live actually
right over here. How long are you
going to
be here? Not that long.
Not that long. I'll tell you what.
You know what's up really big with the, you talk about spiritual freedom right now is the law of attraction. Have you been reading anything about that right now, the law of attraction? It's all over YouTube.
Yeah,
maybe a lot of stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, it must be it's on the internet. It's on, how did I find this lady?
Yeah, if you want to email me, and I'll send it to you for $10, period. No.
Well, I have an office right here in town. So,
yeah.
I'm a local guy.
But, if you're interested,
$10, stop guns. I'm sorry, this would be the first time I buy. We actually have
Hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. You take the book, maybe if you really want to. I'm not trying to lay anything on until you got my.
Let
me put my address on it.
Okay, I'll send you $10.
You can just.
What did I say? I'll do that.
That was
good.
Deals out here.
$5.
Star Trek fans here, yeah.
Are you gonna? Is this charge gonna take care of his books too?
Yep.
Okay.
$20.
Okay.
And what is your name?
Joel. J-O-E-L.
That's a heck of a deal. Thank you.
You're a heck of a guy, man. Just
thank you.
Right, at the right time.
Now you got some reading.
If you read them and you like my books, all I ask is like you put a good comment on the website.
Absolutely.
And if you hate them, just give it to yourself.
No, I agree with that. No, I wouldn't do that.
If you don't like it, then don't do anything.
You can let me know at my email. I got my personal email on there that you didn't like it. Don't let me know. 85541.
Yeah, we're down to the last couple of minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and sign off for the night. This is Patty Helstrand, and this is K-Wad Radio signing out for the evening. And it was nice because he's got some new friends, and we made some sales, and that's definitely what we came for. So, got the names out. Awesome. Good night, and see you next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night, we're speaking to Len Boston personally for over an hour on his book, Through the Mind's Eye. So definitely come by. As, you know, that's going to be 5:30 to 6:30 next Tuesday. It's Arizona time or Mountain Standard Time, which is going to be 8:30 Eastern Time. So until then, we'll see you next week.